This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at our top news at the end of the week, and we begin with the largest disruption in air travel since the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. This time it has nothing to do with terrorism, but the ongoing eruption of the Icelandic volcano Eyjafjallajökull. Ash has been sprayed into the air for days now, and now up to 17,000 flights involving much of Europe and certainly transatlantic flights have been grounded till further notice. Flights will resume Saturday at the very earliest out of London. The entire UK is on an airline freeze right now, as is a growing number of airports in Europe, including four U.S. air bases, two in Britain and two in Germany, including the vital Ramstein Air Base, where many U.S. soldiers are brought after they are severely injured in Iraq or Afghanistan. Airlines could be losing into the billions of dollars, and flight schedules might not be fully back on course for months. And that's assuming the volcano stops spewing the ash relatively soon. Experts say it could stop within hours, or it could be weeks or even months before it stops. No one really knows for sure. It could also affect the travel of President Obama and other leaders to the funeral for Polish President Lech Kaczynski, who of course died in a plane crash last weekend in western Russia. There had been some talk by Kaczynski's family of postponing the funeral for at least a day, perhaps more, in order to make sure that folks could get to the funeral safely. But now those plans have been scrapped, and the funeral will go ahead on Sunday. So why all this chaos? Well, experts say that the ash is not your typical ash like you would find in your fireplace. The ash from this volcano is really very tiny bits of silicon. And even the tiniest bit of silicon, if it gets inside an airline engine, could cause catastrophic damage and could bring down the jet. Perhaps most alarming is the expert analysis that the volcano is not erupting in a particularly significant way, and that other volcanoes on Iceland are capable of shooting much more up into the atmosphere. On to other news now, and President Obama is trying to claim the high ground on the tax policy debate. The president was at a Democratic Party fundraiser in Florida on Thursday night and was reacting to the series of protests by Tea Party groups around the country yesterday, which was Tax Day, of course, 2010. 661 events across the country, and the Tea Party Express, of course, had spent the last several weeks going from Harry Reid's hometown of Searchlight, Nevada, all the way to Washington, D.C. Well, speaking in Florida, President Obama says, as far as he can tell, his administration has lowered taxes for most people.
I've been a little amused over the last couple of days where people have been having these rallies about taxes. You would think they would be saying thank you. That's what you'd think.
So the president claims that the vast majority of Americans have actually seen their tax bill lowered as a result of his administration. But is that true? Well, if you're listening to Thursday's edition, you heard my interview with Scott Hodge of the Tax Foundation. He explains how just a quick look at the recently passed health care bill shows that that is not true.
Those tax increases will clearly hit people well below what the president promised to protect, those earning below, say, $200,000 a year. Those higher taxes, a lot of them may not be directly on people earning below $200,000 a year, but they will trickle down through the various taxes that were enacted on medical device providers and other companies and other providers. And everyday working Americans are going to end up paying higher taxes in order to subsidize health care for everyone else.
Well, big spending is also a focal point of one of our key interviews today. If you head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org, there you can find my interview with Georgia Congressman Paul Brown, who's also a medical doctor. He says the entire spending process in Congress needs to change because so much of it is unconstitutional. He says earmarks have to be done away with, and he says if lawmakers would actually follow the Constitution, it would be a much simpler process, and the bill to American taxpayers would be far, far lower. Also in the interview section today, you can catch my interview with former New York Governor George Pataki, who's the head of a new organization called Revere America. One of the key issues that they're dealing with right now is an effort to repeal the health care bill that was recently passed. Tune in at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org and find out how they're trying to do that. You'll also hear Governor Pataki tell me why he's doing this instead of running for public office once again, since many in New York, especially on the Republican side, were hoping that he would challenge one of the sitting U.S. senators. Both seats are on the ballot later this year. Also at that site, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, you can hear my interview with John Gizzi of Human Events, who will predict who President Obama will nominate to replace John Paul Stevens on the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's not who you might think. And two prominent passings to point out to you at week's end. First of all, Dr. Benjamin Hooks, a key leader in the civil rights movement decades ago, passed away earlier this week at the age of 85. And on Friday, Daryl Gates, the former police chief in Los Angeles, passed away after a short battle with cancer at the age of 83. He, of course, was a chief of police in L.A. during the whole Rodney King fiasco back in 1991 and 1992. The acquittal of the officers accused of beating King excessively led, of course, to the 1992 Los Angeles riots. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.